That's Amen.
All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this day, Lord, that you've given us another opportunity to come out into your house, Lord. And we just pray that every opportunity that you've given to us, Lord, that we utilize and the benefit would be to glorify you, Heavenly Father. So we just pray as we go through our lives here upon this earth, Heavenly Father, that we are willing, Lord, to search after those things that you would have for us to do in our life, Heavenly Father. That those things, Lord, that will allow the light of your salvation to shine forth so that others may see your good works, Heavenly Father, with each and every one of us. We just pray this day, Lord, we lift many up in prayer, where we lift many different things in not only our lives, but in the communities and the lives around us up in prayer. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as your hand is upon each and everything, Heavenly Father, we just go ahead and give you the praise and the honor and the glory, Lord, for your touch being upon each and everything. We just pray this day that you'll help us to follow after your leadership and your guidance as we look into your word, so that we might always be found, Lord, doing those things that are pleasing unto thee. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. So, over the last two Sundays, and this will be the third, we said there was going to be three things that we were going to talk about. Does anybody remember those three things? The first one was the pursuit of our eternal life. Now, these are three things that could not have taken place without the birth of Christ. So the first one was the pursuit of our eternal life. The second one was the assurance of our salvation. And this morning, Lord willing, we want to talk just for a minute about God's unconditional love. He had to have an unconditional love in order to send his son so that he might pay the debt of our sin so that we might be able to be saved. So we're going to start in the book of Micah. These are going to be familiar scriptures this morning that talk about the birth or prophesying about the birth of Christ. But in the book of Micah, chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 2, and here's what it says. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," and here's what he says, "yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," meaning it was for the purpose of God, that is to be the ruler of Israel, and he says, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So when he talked about this, he told us in this verse of scripture, we now know that Christ has always been. He was from the very beginning. He always will be, and it'll go on eternally as we go through our eternal life with God. So let's start with a statement then this morning. Let me make this statement. Christ's birth brings hope to many people. Amen? That's the people that accept him. But to everyone else, to those who do not accept him, it brings fear. And it starts with worldly fear, which will turn into an eternal fear when without accepting him, that we're separated from God. Now, most of humanity, so we're going to talk about believers and non-believers alike, they can tell you what Christmas is all about. And I'm not talking about the materialistic things. They'll tell you that it's a time of remembrance. We're going to remember the birth of Christ. But normally, that is the extent of that knowledge. knowledge. It goes no further than that. So we have to educate people on what Christmas is all about, on what the birth of Christ is all about. Everything else to them is just lost in the busyness of the holiday season. We're running around doing this and we're doing that, and we're forgetting what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. So in order to reconnect, in order to get people to understand what the birth of Christ is all about, then we have to involve ourselves. It's up to us. We, as believers, we have a responsibility, okay? So we have to involve ourselves completely in the Word of God. We have to study and meditate and pray. So we have this responsibility to do this so that there'll be no end to the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that God will give unto us. And it's all about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So the more that we involve ourselves in the Word of God, now listen to this, pay attention to this, because, you know, we slack off a lot of times. We don't read, we don't study, we don't the way God wants us to. But the more that we involve ourselves in the Word of God, the less we will become distracted by the enchantment. And when I say enchantment, I'm talking about the Christmas season. You know, wow, look at that big tree. Wow, look at those lights. Wow, look at what those people do. The less we'll be distracted by those things, because those are just things that they're worldly desires that we have. We'll begin to put those things away. And when we see those things, we're gonna say, this is what the birth of Christ is truly all about. So Christ's birth is very significant to the whole world, because it was the beginning of God's redemptive plan for all of humanity. It started when Christ was born. You know, if Christ had not been born, we would still be living according to the old Jewish law. We would still be under the law. But Christ's birth, he took care of that so that now we live in grace and we can live under this new covenant that God has given through us through the birth of Christ. So without the birth of Christ, salvation would not have been possible. There would have been no saving grace yet, because it took the crucifixion and the resurrection to complete that plan. So in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, here's what it says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called... All right, you say these every Sunday, right? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And here's what it says, of the increase of his government and peace. Now, I'm not talking about world government or anything like that. I'm talking about the spiritual government, the power of God. Of the increase, there'll be no end to that, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to perform this. So that means that through the Word of God, by the Word of God, and I'm talking about the comfort that the Word of God gives us, we understand that Christ rules in the life of every believer. You with me on that? If he's not ruling in your life as a believer, then we're not where we need to be in our relationship with him. So Christ rules in the life of every believer. So that means that you and I, we have this infinite wisdom. We have this infinite knowledge. We're gaining understanding from God as we go along. And we are assured that we do not need to search aimlessly for understanding. We don't have to run around out here in the world trying to figure out this, trying to figure out that. All we have to do is go to God. We have the wisdom. We have the knowledge. It's right here in front of us. We get our understanding from God, because it comes through our life of trusting in him and allowing him to control our life. So here's where we go wrong a lot of times. Well, we have faith, we're trusting, but we're not letting God control our life. if we say we have faith in him, if we say we're trusting in it, then we have to let him control our life. So we must learn to understand the characteristics of God. How do I know the characteristics of God? I don't know them until I get in here and begin to read and to study and to meditate on his word. The Holy Spirit begins to reveal those things to me. And then we're going to understand that Christ, he would have never come and been born if he didn't take an interest in having a personal relationship, a deep personal relationship with each and every one of us. He wanted that. And he wants us to want that in our life as well. So he wants to supply our needs. And this means that now we can have unity with him, and we can have unity with him without worldly fear. The one thing that tears us apart, that tears the church apart, that as believers it hinders our relationship with God, and that's worldly fear. God would rather we have inner peace without worldly fear. So we know that Christ himself took a personal interest in us, because if you go into the book of John, chapter 1, and we're not going to read the whole first chapter, but down in verse 14, it says, the Word was what? Made flesh. That's right. It was made flesh. It dwelt among us, and we beheld, or we now behold, that glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, that glory that is full of nothing but grace and truth. That's all God wants for us. His grace, his truth. He gave us his mercy through the birth of Christ, through the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection. Now we have the ability to accept his grace and the truth that comes along with it. So the Word of God, it was made in the likeness of a man. It brought the truth of God's eternal plan to everybody. Nobody's left out of it. Therefore, now we understand, as believers, we understand that Christ existed with God. So God the Father, God the Son, Holy God the Holy Spirit, and he came and existed as a light to all of mankind. And what did he bring with him when he came? He brought the message of the Father. And that was that he is love. And that's what it's all about. His eternal love. So that means the entirety of the world as we know it now can see God as somebody who is just, as somebody who is holy, as somebody who is sovereign, as somebody who is infinite, as somebody who is loving. And we can just go on and on and on and on. And he was born into humanity. He lived among us. God lived among us. He did not live among us as Christ, but he lived among us through Christ. And there's an importance to knowing that, because now we do not live upon this earth as Christ, but we live upon this earth as Christ through us. And that's what he wanted us to see. He lived upon this earth not as God himself, but he lived upon this earth as God through him. And that is passed down from us, from that generation to this generation. Now we live upon this earth as Christ through us. So Christ fulfilled the scripture concerning God's promise unto man. And that was that he was going to make a way that we could be redeemed from the sinfulness that we have in our life. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, here's what it says. Now, a lot of times we read this and we think about this as believers, that these are gifts that we're going to get after we're saved. But in James chapter 1, verse 17, here's what he said. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. What is the first perfect gift that God gave unto mankind? His Son. That's right. His Son, Jesus Christ. So that was the best gift. Every good gift, every perfect gift. And he said it came down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So there was no doubt When Christ came, when God sent His only begotten Son, when He came, when He was born upon this earth, there was no doubt. He said that there was no maybe it's going to happen, no if it's going to happen, no, well, when He's there, He might do this or He might do that. He said, no, here is the way that it's going to be. He said, I sent Him down, no variableness, neither shadow or no turning. So when through salvation now, we're starting to learn what the meaning of every perfect gift from above is truly all about. Now, it's an undeserved gift. You agree with me on that? We didn't deserve it. It's an undeserved gift. But it wasn't the end. So see, a lot, and this is where we're at a lot of times with salvation. God gave me this undeserved gift of salvation. I'm saved. One of these days I'm going to want to be with the Lord. So I'm just waiting. I'm abiding my time to go. If you are, you're not looking forward to the rest of it. So even though it was an undeserved gift, it's not the end of the gifts that God wants to give. It's only the beginning of those things that God wants to do for us in our life. So that means after accepting the saving grace of Jesus Christ, God's gifts are going to continue. They're going to continue through our life as long as we seek for them, willingly seek for them. So every situation in our life, listen, pay attention to this. Every situation in our life, doesn't matter if we see it as a good situation or doesn't matter if we see it as bad or difficult, it is a what? A gift from God. Now you might look and say, oh, this happened to me the other day. I didn't look at that as a gift. We should have. And we should have been thankful for the gift that God gave us, because for some reason, whether it was good or bad or indifferent, God was going to use that to help us to allow the light of His salvation to shine forth. So it was a gift from God. It was designed to bring eternal blessing not only to our life, but to somebody else's life, and it was designed to glorify Him. So the next time we complain, the next time we're misunderstood, the next time we're just not sure what's happening, just look to God and say, Lord, thank you for your gift. And help me to use it in the manner that you would see fit. So let's go to the book of Luke. Wouldn't be right if we had a Christmas message and didn't read the story. So let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're just going to read the first few verses. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And this taxing, do y'all see that as a gift? Come on.
No.
No? Nobody's thanking the Lord for that gift? Okay, so, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So this was where he was from. That was his ancestor. So he said, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And then he says, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them. The glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, say worldly fear, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? How did he see? How did God want us to see the birth of Christ? As a Savior. That's where our focus is on the poor baby had to be born in a manger, in a cave, in the side of the hill. No, God didn't see it like that. God seen it the same way that He wants us to see it, and that is as a Savior. That's how He came to us. So Christ was declared at His birth. declared a Savior, which could only mean that in God's eyes, he was a perfect man, a perfect human, because only a perfect human could be the Savior of the world. Now, when you look at the other Gospels, Matthew describes Christ as what? Anybody? King. One of these days, he'll come back as a king. When you read the book of Matthew, he describes Christ as a king. When you go to John, John describes Christ as what? The Son of God. That's right. So he describes him as the Son of God. And Mark describes Christ as a, what are we? Servant. So because of Luke, he described Christ as a Savior, a perfect man, and because of this, now we live as servants according to the example of this perfect man. So when we talk about the birth of Christ, when we talk to others about the birth of Christ, and we're talking about a baby born in a manger, we're not focusing on the baby that was born in a manger, but we're focusing now on a Savior. Because this perfect man, this is why he was born, so that he could be the Savior of the world. So that means that because of what Christ done for us, he came to pay this eternal debt of sin, and he done it so that we wouldn't have to be separated from God one of these days. Therefore, the true meaning of Christmas, this Savior that was born, was God's eternal love for mankind. And he told us that in John chapter 3, verse 16. For what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So when all this is said and done, starting with the birth of Christ, this was all done because we needed a Savior. Not a baby. We have plenty of them. We needed a Savior. And this is why all this was done. And what happened when this took place? Most people just seen a baby. They don't recognize the Savior. So this is our responsibility today, is to get people to realize the need. If you never realize the need, then we'll never accept what it was all about. And it was all about the love of God. God supplied a need so that we would not have to perish. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Here's what it said. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He couldn't have died if he would never been born. If he had never came as the Savior of the world. So that means that God loved us enough. That means he loved his own enough, because we all belong to God, that he provided a way. And by the way, it's the only way that all of humanity can spend an eternity with him. So Christ paid our debt in full so that we might be free from the condemnation and wrath that comes along with it. So that means that not this Christmas season, but not just this Christmas season, but every season that we go through it because of the love of God, and it should be a season of great joy and happiness because it was God's ultimate gift to mankind. And it should continue to carry on throughout the rest of our days, the rest of the months, the rest of the years that we have living here upon this earth. So this means that Christ himself, he identifies with everybody who will believe upon his name. He has that identity with us so that through faith believing, we have the ability to be able to announce to the world, and if you go back into the book of Luke, there's two things that took place here. First of all, the birth of Christ was announced as a Savior, and then if you jumped on down into, go on down, read through the rest of that, but go over to verse 19. And what did verse 19 tell you? Because it talked about Mary, and it said Mary kept all these things, and she did what? It says she pondered them. That's right. In her heart. See, that's our example. What are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be announcing these things. We're supposed to be keeping these things. And we're supposed to be pondering them in our heart. We're supposed to be keeping those things right here, close to us. This is where God wants to be. This is why we have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us, because this is where Christ lives now. He lives within inside of us. Does it take faith to do this? Sure, it takes faith to do this. It takes trust to do this. So that we might, the Bible says, so that we might suffer for doing good. Do you think you're going to go through this life without any suffering? Did Christ go through his life on earth without any suffering? No, he did not. So we put our faith and our trust in God. Christ willingly endured. See, all of these things were examples unto us. Christ willingly endured so that we might not remain lost in our sins. So that means that he endured the suffering that we would have died from or for, so that now as believers we can live righteously and no longer, do you know you don't no longer need to sin? Everybody's just looking at me. No. The Holy Spirit that lives within you, the righteousness of God that you have within you, cannot sin. Okay? It can't. The Holy Spirit can't sin. When you accepted Jesus Christ, when he paid that debt of sin on the cross, here's what he done. He traded. He said, if you'll believe in me, if you'll believe in what I'm doing, he said, I'm going to take away your sin debt. I'm going to take that away. I'm going to trade with you. I'm going to give you my righteousness. And with that righteousness comes the indwelling Holy Spirit, and neither can sin. But we still sin. Why? Because we like to look back once in a while at that old nature that we inherited from Adam. And it's always poking us. Oh, you have to sin. You can't go through life without sinning. So we learn to make choices as we go through life. And we're thankful that we have a God that is still merciful to us when we make choices that are not choices that are pleasing unto him. But we learn to make these choices, and we pray that the choices that we make will honor God, will glorify God. So that means that we no longer have to live. See, we live our life, and you might disagree with me, but here's how we live our life. I live my life this way. I'm sure you guys do too. We live our life according to the physical conditions or the physical things that happen to us in our life. So that means when something goes wrong, then usually the first thing that comes out of our mouth is something that we don't want anybody else to hear, because we're living our life according to the conditions in our life. God does not want us to do that. God wants us to live our life according to our eternal destiny in him. So that means when something goes wrong, and it will, it's going to go wrong, instead of living our life according to the moment, we're still going to live our life according to what we're looking forward to eternally with God. Because now I'm not focused on just another baby that was born. I'm focusing on a Savior that came just for me, so that I don't have to live my life according to my own purpose and plan. Acts, last scripture, I promise. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why is it so important to focus upon Christ, starting with his birth. Because we're focusing upon the one, the only one, who can save us. Nobody else can do that for us. So Christ, he came. He was full of grace. He was full of truth. He came as a Savior, not just a Savior, but a servant. He is the one, and he done this by example to show us that we can do this, so pay attention to this. He's the one that walked the entirety of his life on earth, and he didn't sin, but I'm not going to say that. He's the one that walked the entirety of his life on earth in willing obedience to the Father. You and I can do that today. We can walk every day in our life in obedience to God. But do you know why we can't? Don't say it's the old nature, because we're told in here that's not an excuse. That'll never be an excuse. We're not obedient because we don't learn what obedience is all about. We don't have this in here. We have it partially in there. David said, thy word. See, David, he, go back and read Psalms. He'll teach you some of this stuff. He said, thy word hath I what? Hid in my heart that I might not sin. See, sin had nothing to do with it. One of these days when you stand before God, condemnation will not come to you or I because of sin. Because the sin debt was paid. Condemnation comes because we were disobedient. And David said that to show us that we need to learn more about being obedient to God. So that means that as believers, we need to learn to follow more after his example. And we can only do that by denying our own worldly lust, fleshly desires that we have. So we receive God's favor. We receive that by faith. And it's simple. It's a simple act, a simple thing that we do. But in order to do it, we've got to dwell upon the Word of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't be saved. I only need faith to be saved. Now, you have to have the Word of God to be saved. Because it's your obedience to the Word of God that gives you faith. So how do I get that if I'm a sinner and I've never studied the Word of God? God said, I'll show it through you through nature. If nothing else, you'll see it through nature. You cannot have faith without being obedient to the Word of God. So it all started with obedience. So I'm kind of thinking in my life here upon this earth, if it started with obedience through the Word, that's what gave me faith to be saved, then where along the line did I go wrong? Because I'm no longer in complete obedience to the Word of God. Where did I go wrong? It's when I let things of the world hinder my relationship with God, and I quit searching for the meaning of obedience. I quit searching those things in God's Word, things that He wants me to learn, those promises, those commandments, so that I can continue to grow in my obedience unto Him. So that means we've got to dwell upon the Word of God. We've got to put our faith, our trust wholly in Him. So that means that everything that we do, we have to be able, we speak the Word of God. When you're talking to somebody, do they hear the Word of God in your conversation? They should, but they don't always. When somebody's watching you, so now we're speaking it, we have to learn to act on it. So when somebody's watching you from afar, do they see the Word of God in your actions? Probably not always. My wife says, you're getting better when you get upset and you don't throw a wrench all the way across the garage. I just lay it down hard now. So this is what I'm talking about. When people listen, hear, look, everything that they should see should be the Savior that God gave. They should see the Savior living within you and the obedience coming forth from you. That's where we should be in our life in Christ. So that means whatever we face in this life, we can overcome it by our obedience to God's Word. Because there's something in there for everything that we go through. So that means that we can truly say now as believers that our life will never be the same because we have claimed the love of God as our own, because we claimed His Son, just as we were told in Luke, we claimed His Son not as a baby born, but as a Savior that was given. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful day that You've given us. We're thankful, Lord, for the time of year that You allow us to come together and celebrate the birth of Your Christ, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we look to that, Lord, that we see what it's truly all about in our life. Lord, that we see the Savior, Heavenly Father. We accept that into our life. We act upon it, Heavenly Father. And everything that we do from here on out, Lord, we pray would be in obedience unto You. For the tremendous gift that You have so freely given to each and every one of us. We just pray this day, Lord, that You would continue to help us to follow after Your leadership and Your guidance as we go through the days of our lives, Heavenly Father. We just pray, Lord, that that light that You have allowed and put within us, Heavenly Father, that we allow that light to shine forth so that others might see Your good works through us. Help us, Lord, to be responsible in showing others what Your saving grace is truly all about. And help us, Lord, every day to continue to learn to be obedient to Your Word. Forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.